So we are going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Text 14 and 15. So the text that is written on the board is 15. Patitas kalito bhagnam.
Patitas kalito bhagnam.
Sandastas tapta ahata. Hari iti avashena.
Hari iti avashena.
Umam nahati jatana.
Umam nahati jatana.
Patita.
Patita.
Falling down.
Falling down.
Skalita.
Skalita.
Slipped. Vagna,
Vagna,
having broken his bones. Sandasta,
Sandasta,
beaten.
Tapta,
severely attacked by fever or similar painful conditions.
Severely attacked by fever or similar painful conditions.
Ahata, endure. Hari, Lord Krishna. Iti, somebody knows what is it does. Avasena, accidentally. Aha, chance. Pumam, a person. Na, not. Arhati, deserves. Yatana, hellish conditions. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of accident, misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, sleeping and suffering broken bones with traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted by pain and high fever, or being injured by weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Jam Jam Bapi Smaram Bhavam, Jagjati Ante Kale Varam, Tam Tam Evaiti Kaunteya, Sada Tad Bhava Bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. If one practices chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he is naturally expected to chant Hare Krishna when he meets with some accident. Even though with such practice, however, if one somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord Hare Krishna when he meets with an accident and dies, he will be saved from hellish life after death. I will read the previous verse, text 14. Is Sanketyam Parishashamva Stobam Helana Evava Vaikuntanam Agrahanam Ase Sagam Harambidu. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately free from the reactions of unlimited sins. Even if he chants indirectly to indicate someone something else, joking or for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully, this is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. So, thank you very much for being here and giving me this opportunity to speak something about Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, I do it for my own benefit. And to have your association, and I will try to say something according to my realizations and what I hear from Srila Prabhupada. So please also give me your blessings that I can continue my spiritual life and be able to somehow speech represent Srila Prabhupada when we are preaching. So in this text 14 and 15, there is no purport. So it's only translation, so normally we don't give a comment of verses when they don't have purport. However, this text 14 and 15, Srila Prabhupada has given lectures in Vrindavan. And he gave a very long lecture that you can find on internet. A very nice lecture he gave about this text 14. And also he gave a very long lecture about text 15. I was trying to listen a little bit the lectures. And especially in 14, he was saying how powerful the name of Krishna is, how powerful the Mahamantra Hare Krishna is. Because the Mahamantra, wherever is Krishna, all his opulence is there also. It's not only Krishna. Krishna comes with Vrindavan. When we mention Krishna, we are actually also, everything is inside there. Govardhan, Radhakund, the gopis, the cowboys, all his pastimes are inside basically the Mahamantra of Hare Krishna. Krishna is never alone. That's why, and this is part of the extreme opulence of Krishna's name, because in Krishna's name is all the spiritual world is basically inside this Krishna's name. So in text 15, I will read again the translation. If one chants the holy name Hari and he dies because of an accident, misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, sleeping from suffering broken bones, with traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and higher fever, or being injured by weapons, or one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. This sounds very like pessimistic in one sense, like. But Srila Prabhupada here, he's describing that basically we, by falling down from our spiritual position, that we fall from the association of Krishna, this material world itself is very painful. So all these kind of miseries that we see here, it means in the material world is made of unwanted situations that they are very harsh for the living entity. But sometimes we say this is because of my anartha, so it's because of my karma, so many things are going really bad. But basically, the worst thing that have ever happened to us is that we got separated from Krishna. This is the greatest punishment. Just actually falling down and breaking your legs, or I don't know, go to the dentist, whatever. There's nothing compared to the separation of Krishna. So far we are in the material world. We are subjected to all kind of miseries and suffering, because the material world is meant to be like that. Is meant to work in a way that happiness and distress will come. Or material energy is always changing. They call chanchala. Material energy is always moving. Like we buy a new item, a new sweater, but after a few years start to break or discompose or everything. Even our material body in front of our eyes start to get rotten, discomposed, we start to get old, our teeth start to fall down, our skin start to feel pain everywhere. So basically, this is the material world, because actually the material world is perfect design to awake the conditioned soul. Sometimes we think all these mysteries doesn't make any sense, but in the deeper level actually make sense, because it's too soon or later to make us understand that we are not matter, we are not this material body. Actually, matter itself is that energy, that element. So we are trying to satisfy matter or that energy when we actually come from a superior energy, that the superior energy comes from Krishna. So Krishna is saying here that if you chant Hare Krishna in the moment of death, then you achieve liberation. You can imagine how powerful the name of Krishna is. But the point of the devotee is not that we just focus on how to chant Hare Krishna in the moment of death. Basically, we are all dead already. Material world is Mrityu Loka, is a place for the dead souls. Like there is a lecture when Srila Prabhupada was saying, what is the use to beat a dead horse with a stick? And let's say, imagine you find a horse in the street but it's dead, and then you take it with a stick and then you start to beat the dead horse and you're saying, I kill you. I mean, the horse is dead already. I mean, so we are basically dead also. Krishna has killed us so many times since times immemorial, but we again take birth again and we take birth again, but we have died so many times. We have died so many, many millions of times. So basically death means disconnection from Krishna. So we are in kind of like ghosts in this material world possessing different type of body. Sometimes people say, do you believe in ghosts? Yes, of course, we are a bunch of ghosts. We are all ghosts possessing material bodies. That's the meaning of a ghost. A ghost is when it possesses some material body and try to enjoy. We are doing the same thing. My point is that in one sense, we are already dead. It's not that we're going to die one day. We are, in Srila Prabhupada was saying like that, we are already dead. We are like a dead entities trying to enjoy material energy or trying to enjoy this Krishna. So actually to be alive is to get Krishna consciousness, to reborn, or sometimes you hear these terms in different religions, to born again, or even when we get second initiations, like you get a newborn. Or actually, to born or to live means Krishna consciousness. The devotee is trying to be Krishna consciousness all the time. It's not that in the moment of death. The point is we should be Krishna consciousness always. I mean, Krishna consciousness means to reconnect to our spiritual constitution, that is to be engaged in the service of Krishna. Once we are in the service of Krishna, it doesn't matter if we are even in Goloka Vrindavan or we are in the material world, because our eternal duty is the servants of Krishna. So I give you this little example. I was thinking the some days ago. Suppose finally we are trying to be devotees all our life, and in the end of life we manage to chant Hare Krishna, and then we die, and then finally we go back to Godhead, we go to Goloka Vrindavan, and then we see Krishna, and then Krishna say, hello, welcome, finally I see you, and then hug you, and then you eat with him and stay with all the friends. But then Krishna, in a moment, he will say, okay, I need a favor from you. I need you to, you came here to serve me, don't you? Of course, we will say, yes, I'm here to be your servant. So Krishna may say, okay, I need you to go back again to planet Earth, to Europe, where the place where you are living, and talk about my glories, and preach about me. Of course, you will say, yes, sir, I mean, I do whatever you want to do. So suppose you come back again here, but you are under the service of Krishna. So there is these two differences. One is that we become spiritual, so then we can one day be liberated and go back to Godhead. Or we become spiritual because we want to serve Krishna. So the quality of the service is it changed a little bit, because we are not doing service for that one day we will go to back to Godhead. We are doing service because this is the order of Krishna, because Krishna wants us to be engaged in his service. We see, like, all demigods, they are engaged in the service of Krishna. If you see, like, pictures of all Ganesh, Hanuman, Shiva, all of them, they are praying, all they are with beads, they are always trying to pray for Krishna. You will never see a picture of Lord Shiva in Hawaii, in a hammock, and, like, with two cocktails, trying to enjoy material energy. So that's why they are demigods, because they are on the service of Krishna. So the devotee is the in the same category of this, in the service of Krishna. Actually, devotee, the name devotee comes from the divine, the name divine, devotee, divine energy. Or divine, or devotional service means a service that is in the divine energy of Krishna. It's very divine. So we can see that the only intention of Krishna, the desire of Krishna is that all conditioned souls are reconnected with him, because Krishna actually, he doesn't like that we are disconnected from him, because disconnection means suffering. So Krishna doesn't like us to see suffering. So he creates this material world in a perfect way, so we can go back to Krishna. I mean, everything in this material world, it works for Krishna's desire. And this, what is the desire of Krishna? The desire of Krishna is to regain against the conditioned souls back to him. So if we work, devotional service means to work for the desire of Krishna. It doesn't, I mean, of course, it's in the temple, washing pots, doing this and that, but when we understand that all my activities should be for the desire of Krishna, then we are eternally connected in the service of Krishna. Vrindavan Dham means everything is related with Krishna's desire. It's not we go to Vrindavan so then finally we can enjoy and eat as much ice creams as possible and unlimited kalpavriksha treats. Of course it's there, but that's not the mood of the devotee. The devotee just want to serve Krishna. So Krishna is so kind that in this age of Kali Yoga, he doesn't come to kill us anymore, because I already killed these people so million times before. I mean, what's they used to kill a dead man already? And it's like, they're dead. I mean, so Krishna comes in his name. Krishna comes in his, in his names to kill the tendencies of being sinful, actually, to kill the root cause of our disconnection, of our sinful activities. So Krishna, he put all his potencies on his name, but actually not to, just to give us liberation, but it's just also to go to the root of the sin, like why we are disconnected. And basically, our sinful activities are because we are disconnected from Krishna, and in the deep level, we miss Krishna so much. Everyone is missing Krishna. That's why people take intoxications or try to get money or try to exploit material energy, because actually in the deeper level they are trying to look for Krishna. They are looking for the source of pleasure. So everyone in the deeper level in the spirit soul are trying to connect with Krishna. So basically this connection of Krishna, more disconnect with Krishna we are, more hellish the situation is. We can be even in this planet or in hellish planets or in the same room. Some people are in different state of consciousness. Some are more in blissful consciousness with Krishna. Some people are in the miserable hellish situation. Because forgetfulness for Krishna decrease our level of consciousness. Now, consciousness is also a very important factor. Consciousness is the ability of awareness, to have access to different feelings, to have access to different tastes, to different aromas or moods or relations. Like you see, the consciousness of a tree is very dull. It's like it cannot move, it cannot do anything. We can just cut the tree won't complain. Then you can see a little, I don't know, like a fish in water. He can now start to move his belly and he have a little more consciousness. He can start moving. And then we can see a big animal like a monkey, whatever. Like, because he can start to smell, he can start to taste. And now we are the humans. We have more amount of consciousness. That's why we can do so many things. We can make airplanes, we can make mobile phones, we can exploit material nature, because actually our level of consciousness is superior. So this superior level of consciousness gives us more access to exploit to our environment. So more consciousness the living entity is, more access to basically the kingdom of God he has. So the consciousness as a human being is the minimal amount enough to get to understand who am I, or who is God, or who is Krishna, what is my position. So as a human form, in this human form of life, is the great gift, because we have this amount of consciousness, so then we can try to understand what is Krishna, what are his activities, and what is my relation with Krishna. And actually, I find out that it's very beautiful. So that's why a Krishna consciousness person or living entity basically have access to Vrindavan, have access to all his kingdom in one sense. But consciousness also, it goes together with responsibility. Responsibility, you know, like the ability to respond to different situations. Krishna, basically, he's giving himself to everyone. But when we misuse his energy, when we misuse his friends, his creations, his activities, then the material energy covers the soul, because it's not responsible enough. It's like when I don't know, like a child, it's not really responsible. So we have to take some things away from his hand. Like maybe he take some dust from the street and put it in his mouth. We are trying to restrain the child because he's not responsible. So similarly, Krishna is not giving himself completely because we are not responsible enough. So once we are responsible and we take care of his energy, then Krishna gives himself completely. But of course also we have to give ourselves completely to Krishna. Krishna reciprocates with our level of surrender. I will say it's like a balance. Sometimes we are 20% in Maya and then 80% Krishna consciousness. Sometimes 50% Maya, 50% Krishna, or 70% Maya and then 30% Krishna. I mean, Krishna is very demanding. Actually, Krishna wants 100% everything. Like we can see that, I have experienced with myself that any slight deviation or Maya, it creates like a big separation of Krishna. Like Krishna always is trying to push us to give up everything. Maybe slowly, little by little, but sooner or later he pulls us to the world, to throw us the world, and say, you have to surrender completely. Like, even though our attempts to be in Maya, Krishna will also spoil them too. It's amazing. I have tried to be in Maya, and Krishna really doesn't allow me to be in Maya. It's kind of funny. I won't talk about this, but it's something like that. Like, sometimes Krishna doesn't give you any choice. Just surrender unto me, and surrender unto me, or surrender unto me. Otherwise, you will be subjected to all these material painful situations that there are millions and millions and millions. Like once Kadambakana Swami was telling, like, how much the body can feel pain and how much the body can feel pleasure. I mean, you know, let's say just one finger. I mean, you want to give pleasure to your finger, you can try to kiss your finger, I don't know, like, do something. But how much pain can you feel in your finger? Just take a hammer and that's it. I mean, the material body is subjected to pain. And basically pain is just this separation of Krishna. So even though there are so many painful situations that we can imagine, Prabhupada says in this lecture that by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, we feel relief of all these painful situations. We feel kind of happy. And that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling so much that we should chant Hare Krishna, go on the street and do Harinam, chant Hare Krishna, because this is the remedy of Kali Yoga. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was criticized, but he was a sentimentalist, that he chose singing Hare Krishna, and what about all these Vedanta Sutra, what about all the Vedas, what about all these pandits that were criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That this is just sentimentalist, what to speak us. Even Srila Prabhupada was criticized too, by just chanting Hare Krishna when he came to the West and make us devotees, and he went back to India with all these Europeans and Germans and with Brahma initiation, and his god brothers and many people criticized Srila Prabhupada that how come he can do that. So we should also expect some critics of when we go in the street. We should not be surprised that everyone will just like what we do. I mean, sometimes we have to be consciousness that people won't like that we are chanting Hare Krishna, because actually people don't. That's why, like, we are in the material world because we got separate. We wanted to go away from Krishna. So when we hear Krishna, we are like, we feel kind of allergic to the name of Krishna, like, get away. But this is the same medicine is that, like in the previous lecture, it's like when you have jaundice, when you take sugar, everything tastes bitter, but the same cure is sugar preparation, that is, so it's bitter, but it came sweet in the end. So of course, if we cannot be fully Krishna consciousness in our activities, at least also we can try to chant Hare Krishna in the moment of death. And I mean, because Krishna is so kind that still he's like, okay, like Ajamil, he did so many sinful activities, still in the end he calls his name of Narayan, or what we call Krishna. Still, Krishna is so kind that he pulls us up again to his above, spiritual above. But what to speak a devotee who is living his life already in Krishna consciousness, because he's already awake in the service of Krishna. So Krishna also takes in consideration when a devotee is fully engaged of Krishna in his life, when we are we are managed to be Krishna consciousness, even in the moment of death, if we are not able to remember Krishna, maybe because I don't know, somebody did something, or we get some sickness in our brain or something that we cannot remember Krishna, it still doesn't matter, because Krishna said, no, this is my devotee, I take him anyway. It's not that we just have to, it's not about that a deal, a business with Krishna. I chant Hare Krishna in the moment of death, so I get liberation. So in one sense I can do whatever I want or take it easy. No, it's about be Krishna consciousness or not. Sometimes I've seen some disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they were just chanting Jaya Prabhupada in the moment of death. And of course they went to Srila Prabhupada and to Krishna. Because Krishna knows what is the desire of the devotee inside the heart, and better to be already living Krishna consciousness. Doesn't matter, we are in the material world, and somehow we have to do something because we are eternal. So we have to be engaged in an eternal time. I mean, it's not about what I'm going to do when I grow up, or maybe I'm going to be a lawyer or a mechanic, or you know, it's what I'm going to do in all my eternity, because it means long time, actually. I mean, you have to find a eternal occupation. It's not just a 40 years occupation. I mean, we are talking about eternal time. It's like, sometimes I say, Krishna, give me a break. I mean, eternal, it's like, wow, it's a long time. It's like forever. So we have to find an eternal occupation to Krishna. But that means, eternal means also right now in this moment, because this moment is just a spark of all this eternity time. Like now it's very common philosophy to be in the now, and you have to be in the now, but they don't really understand what is the now. They think that the now is just breathe deeply, but the now, the real now is to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. That's the real now. The real now is when we are with Krishna. That's why also we repeat Hare Krishna mantra every day, because we are in connection with Krishna. It's like we are in now with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Then again, I was one more time. So that's why I said, realize devotee chants Hare Krishna 24 hours a day all his life. Because he just wants to be with Krishna second by second by second by second. He doesn't want to miss even 1 second without Krishna. So this is the real now. So when we are second by second with Krishna in the moment when this body doesn't work anymore, we are already Krishna consciousness. It's up to Krishna what he do with us. If we go back to Godhead, or we preach again somewhere else, or I don't know. It's up to Krishna. But the devotee try to be engaged in the service of Krishna. That's why this movement is so powerful. That's why Srila Prabhupada movement purified everyone in a very easy, a simple way, because Prabhupada actually, he tricked us. He put us in the supreme service of Krishna. Sometimes people come to the temple and do some service and that, or like the way we came, this yoga, meditation, but actually, basically Srila Prabhupada put us in the highest category of Brijavasis or even Gopals, Gopis, because we are already in the service of Krishna. And there was a time when Krishna left Vrindavan, the Gopis were completely devastated. They were completely, I mean, can you imagine the Gopis are the most superior entities ever, and even beyond Shiva, beyond anyone we can imagine. But they were, when Krishna left, they were completely finished. And the only way they could take out their pain, it was chanting Hare Krishna. They start to chant Hare Krishna because Krishna is in his name. Krishna is present in his name. So That's why the name of Krishna now is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here to us, so we can have a direct association with Krishna through his name. In the beginning we may not feel it, or we don't feel it because our mind is so polluted, but gradually we will understand that actually we are in direct association with Krishna, and automatically all our miseries or anarthas or any unwanted things, they will go away, they will burn away. So thank you very much for listening to me, and if you have some questions or comments or points, yeah, Haribol.
Thank you very much for a nice class. I was just wondering, you mentioned at some stage in the class that this material world is very painful and so forth, and somehow or other it's designed in such a way so that we realize that we're not meant to be here, we have to go back to our spiritual nature. And I was thinking, how to connect all the different events in this world, some painful experiences and so forth, to connect them with spirituality, like how to actually see the Krishna behind it all.
So basically the question is how we can connect our painful situations related with the spiritual blessings, or how we take pain as a spiritual advantage to know that we are, everything is controlled by Krishna, and all these painful activities is to get us closest to Krishna. So this is actually very, very difficult, and only kind of advanced devotees can understand that. Like sometimes I think, for example, my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami, that now his body is, I will say, it's just 100% pain. Everything, his legs doesn't work, it's swallow, his liver, he's retaining water and all the body. He can basically don't do anything. And actually, this is a very painful situation. But I saw him also laughing once. He was just, we were in the room with him, and the devotees just grab him and he just start to laugh like a child. And I say, how he can laugh like about this? I don't know, he was passing air and do this, but he was laughing. I guess they can understand, for us it's more difficult, but in my own personal experience, I have gone through also so many painful situations. I still I feel pain because my mind and sometimes body, but I have experienced that when I chant Hare Krishna, then I become more happy, more the pain, we can transcend pain, and sooner or later, we come to a point that we have tried everything. I mean, we have tried to have big bank accounts, to have big families, to have so much wealth or whatever. But in the moment of death, Krishna takes everything away. Or when we get old, or we get diseased, and when we realize that actually we need to call from God, we need to call from help. We are like a child. We are very proud that, I don't need God, I don't need anything. But I think there will be a breaking point in this life or in the next, that we really have to admit that we are defeated. And then we, like Gayendra, like when the crocodile was beating his leg, He was trying to fight, he was so strong, he was trying to fight against this crocodile, But in one moment he says, okay, I cannot anymore. And then he takes his trunk with a lotus flower. Krishna, please help me. Like, I think there will be a point on time when we go really deep and we feel completely useless, almost in the point of death. And like, you know, many cases the people are in the age of killing themselves, but when there's like, okay, Krishna, please help me, I don't have any more choice. And because somehow Krishna is in the heart, and Krishna is saying, please, I help you, just call for me, I help you. So sometimes Krishna take away everything. It's like Prabhupada was saying once, some person came to Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, give me your blessings. And Prabhupada says, are you sure you want my blessings? Yes, Swamiji, just give me your blessings. You may lose everything and become Krishna consciousness, he says. And the person says, no, Swamiji, don't give me that one. Don't give me that one. Because we think blessings is like, okay, have everything fulfilled, all your desires fulfilled, but sometimes we're going to lose, I mean, we will lose everything, it doesn't matter. So sometimes Krishna is taking little by little away our things, because sometimes maybe it's too painful if we just make a big change, it's very painful. So we can say, oh, Krishna, please purify me, but little by little, don't be so so direct. But I don't know. I mean, it's very difficult to understand. But I guess the soul, in a deeper level, we don't have any more shelter than to call for help. Even though we are in the most worst situation, even if we are drug addicted, so in one point of time we have to admit, yeah, really my situation is completely finished. I need help. The problem that we are very proud. We are, oh no, I can still do it, or I can still make it, but we still have hope that I can make something better. But when we admit defeat, yeah, I'm defeated. Actually, I'm useless. I'm a worm in the stool. I mean, I don't. What is my capacity? It's nothing. I don't have anything. When we admit defeat, then Krishna help. Oh, this guy now is humble. He's ready to understand spiritual matters. Of course, there can be more answers. Different, yes, but something. You?
You were mentioning that we are already in these bodies without, in a way, like zombies. So without being Krishna conscious, and you are coming from South America. There is a tradition of those beliefs, and there are people dealing with zombies and things like that. I mean, does this help in preaching Krishna consciousness? Because there is some awareness of not being this body, that people are a bit aware of this. I mean, in some maybe tamasic way, but there is some realization they are not this body, because there are those practices mixed with Christianity, as far as I know. If you can tell something about this.
Well, this example is not really good for preaching. If I tell people, you are just a zombie, and it won't help so much, or you are dead, I mean, we are going to die. No, you are dead already. It won't help. I was just trying to make the point of that we are spiritually dead in one sense.
Yeah, but are people aware that they are not this body? Does this practices and tradition help them being aware more that they are not this body, because they are like living with more with these ghosts and everything?
For example, I'm from Colombia. When they deal this with the shamans and ghosts and spirits, and
they're dealing.
And that was one of my realizations when is that we are all spirits laying around trying to go here and there, trying to enjoy material energy. That was my point, that it doesn't matter if they are ghosts or this and that, it's all the same. We are, sometimes they say in this house there are ghosts, or in this place there are ghosts, but we are also the same situation. The ghost is just also trying to get out of this position, it's just trying to get Krishna consciousness somehow, trying to enjoy it. So basically we are all in the same situation. It's not in the material world, we are all, in one sense, we are on the same train. We are all under the rules and regulations of conditions, activities of the material world. So we are all in the same situation. There is no one better than other. I mean, in one sense, even though you are Bin Laden or Donald Trump or George Bush or shaman or an African skinny guy, we are all in the same situation anyway. We are. Sometimes we think of my miseries is worse than your misery, or sometimes we compare our misery. No, but I feel more pain because I don't have money, like in Africa. No, but we don't have money, and other people say no. I feel pain because I'm a disabled person, but in the spiritual level, it's all the same. It's all bad. I mean, the material level is all bad. It doesn't matter if you are a super healthy guy or disabled. We are in the same situation, in this connection with Krishna. Sometimes I see people in the wheelchair. Sometimes they are difficult to preach to them because they have felt so much miseries. But when I see them, I say, oh, they have at least a good hand. They could take a japa and chant Hare Krishna. I mean, the solution is given by Srila Prabhupada, is given by Krishna. I mean, just chant the holy name. It's so easy. Just name Krishna. Use your mouth. So it's not, everyone is in the same situation. When I say we are spiritual dead, is that we are in spiritual disconnection with Krishna. So the devotee, by preaching, it should be kind of tactical. It should be in intelligence, to not to remind people how miserable they are. It's not we should remind people, oh, you are worm in the stool, useless. And no, we should be more like tactical, how to engage this person to do a little service for Krishna. Oh, can you hold this book one moment for can you read this verse for me, because I my eyes are not good, or I don't know. Is the way that I would say the best way of preaching is just to try to engage people in some kind of sukriti or devotional activities. It's not just to remind people how bad the situation it is. Like, we are going to die, and you surrender to God like the Christians do. It's not about this. It's not about, I can be like pessimist, and this material world is just full of suffering, and we are full of mucus and stool and blood. No, it's more, I don't think this works. Or maybe for some. It's more like the way of preaching is to see how to engage people in some devotional service. Like when we do Harinam, like we try to make people chant Hare Krishna. No, you chant Hare Krishna. Oh no, you take this book. Or it's more like we are trying to do with a positive way. Because actually all these negativities, all these miseries, are nothing in compared to the blissful feelings that we can actually perceive by being in contact with Krishna. When we are in contact with Krishna, then we can see that all these miseries are actually nothing. Like coming to the point of Japa Takaswami and some other devotees, gurus, or when they are sick, they don't really care that they are sick, because this sickness is nothing to do with the treasure of being Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is our greatest treasure. Even though, yeah, I'm sick, but I don't care. I mean, I'm Krishna consciousness. I mean, so I don't think it's good to remind people in a negative way that you are suffering, then you have to surrender. We have to be tactical and try to be with the positive way. Take this gulab jamun, take this burfi, and chant Hare Krishna, present it in a color way, because actually Krishna consciousness is a very colorful movement. It's a very joyful perform. My point of saying people we are dead is dead in the spiritual consciousness. It's sometimes when I feel so angry in the streets and that sometimes you feel like cursing someone, I wish you go to hell, but we are already in hell. I mean, what is the worst thing that being already here in this material world? We are already disconnected. Like I wish you to be, I mean, wish what more bad could be? I mean, it's already bad. As long as we are in the material world, means we are in trouble in one sense.
Yeah. Hay una confusión como en el Bhagavata que tal vez no es muy clara para mí. Pero en algunas historias del Bhagavata, como la de Yami, él toda su vida fue pecaminosa y al final de la vida, por cantar el nombre de Krishna, se libera, ¿no? Y en otros pasatiempos hay personas que son devotos toda la vida y por cometer una simple ofensa van al infierno o toman un
like Bali Maharaj,
compuesta la circunstancia, ¿no? O sea, uno que realiza una vida santa y después al final con una ofensa, la historia de
un So his question is that sometimes he find too controversial situations in Srimad Bhagavatam. One devotee like Ajamil who was very sinful, and then he chanted the name of Krishna Narayan in the end of life, then he gets liberation. And in the other hand, there are some devotees who being very strict in their life, like I think it was Bharata, he became a deer. So some devotee who was very Krishna conscious, but in the last moment he make a little mistake of seeing a deer, and then he became a deer. Or like how come is that? Like how it works?
No.
Porque why Krishna? I will say that this pastime or Srimad Bhagavatam are to give us some lessons to us, like in the case of Ajamil, is to make us understand how the name of Krishna is so powerful, or how his name in the moment are so powerful. But in the other cases where there is a very strict devotee who make a small mistake and then he have to take birth again, he's also teaching that material energy is very tricky and we should not play with material energy. It's like gambling, in one sense. We should be very, very careful. But I would say is Krishna also takes in consideration everything. In any case, it's unique. Also, any case is different. This is my only hope. Like, please, Krishna, you understand me. I'm a wild devotee, avadut, something. Please, I hope you will take care in consideration this. I think.
De un puyari que él estaba en Yaganapuri y él tomó un cuerpo de fantasma. Entonces el castigo que él tuvo era de que él tenía que quedarse como un fantasma hasta el final del camino y no podía ser liberado, porque cuando él hacía la puya a Krishna, él él pensaba que Krishna no estaba ahí en persona, sino que decía, es una estatua nada más. O sea, no tiene la visión como de un brahmana.
Es donde están, ya.
Piensa que él está cometiendo, pero toda su vida él fue como.
There's a story in Jagannath Puri of a pujari who was doing worship to Jagannath, but he was not really conscious that God was present there. So when he died, he took the form of a ghost, but he's cursed to be until the end of Kali Yuga. But I don't know, maybe he's a ghost taking care of Jagannath Puri temple.
Unos ladrones y ella cruzó por el templo de Jagannath Puri y se cayó, y cuando se cayó de su bolso salió la cosa para pintar los labios y con esa rayó la pared del templo. Entonces al momento que ella muere, ella se libera porque el señor Jagannath le dijo muchas gracias por decorar mi templo.
And there is another story in the opposite way of one prostitute who she, in the moment of death, she fell in the front of the temple of Jagannath Puri, and her lipstick went out and scratched the wall. And then Jagannath took this as a thank you for decorating my temple, so give her liberation. So, I mean, this could be these two contradictions of somebody who is very fixed and somebody who is very sinful, and then they get liberation. But we have to consider also what was his previous, it could be his previous life too, and his previous, maybe let's say Bharat Maharaj, he was very fixed and then he became a deer, and then probably is this deer with other deers, I mean, and then these deers, Bharati deer, something happened, a car smashing. Then he gets liberation. And then the other deers, they will say, how come he's a deer and he gets liberation and we don't get liberation? I mean, so maybe it's because of previous life. But for me it's difficult to agree that Krishna is a cruel guy, that any little mistake it will just send us to hell. For me, I don't agree so much on that. Krishna is very kind. It must to show to a different example of how we should not have faith in these material activities. We should not just do all kind of sinful activities and wait until the end to get liberation. Because even though to have a spiritual life is even more better than have a sinful life. Even the material point of view is much nicer also. Like, we have prasada, we go to temple, we have already kirtan, we are dancing, we are associated with nice devotees, nice people. So even in the material point of view is a good deal to be spiritual. It's not like, okay, we can see all the people who use intoxication or are in a very sinful life. You can see that actually they are suffering. You see their faces, you see their aura. They are suffering. And basically the same as a ghost or anything. I mean, it's not big difference. Like sometimes doing Harinam, you could see people in the street, like almost, you could see like they know that they are suffering. I don't know if you have experienced this, but sometimes I feel that sometimes we are doing Harinam and then we pass to someone who is like smoking a cigarette or eating a meat. Like when they see the devotees, they kind of feel that they are doing wrong. They are like, oh, like they take the cigarette like, oh no, like sorry, like, I don't know, like deep in their heart, people know that they are suffering. But this is a difficult question. I don't know how to answer this because, yeah, I don't know. I guess up to Krishna or you.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. I just wanted to add something. I've heard that, you know, like with the story of Ajamil and Bharat Maharaj, for example, it's like... it's not actually that different in a way, because Bharat Maharaj, he was already like performing highest, you know, kind of yoga, bhakti yoga. And then he had little mistake, And then, you know, he had to go, yeah, he had to go through deer body, and then he had to go through Jadabharat body. You know, but that's only like two lifetimes. So for Krishna, this eternal time, you know, it's nothing. It's like two more lifetimes, it's nothing. With Ajamila's case, what happened was he got liberation, he didn't go back to Godhead. So Bharat went back to Godhead after he was in Jadabharat body. But Ajamila had a chance because he was just saved from the Yamadutas at that point, when he chanted that Narayan offenselessly. And then he was given a chance, and then he took that chance very seriously. And so then he performed this bhakti yoga very seriously, and then he went back to Godhead. So he didn't make any mistakes after that. So at least there is no description.
Yeah.
But in Bharata's Marad Maharaj case, there is that mistake pointed out, that there was a little mistake, and he had to, but still Krishna made arrangements that he rectified this mistake, and he actually went back to Godhead. So it's again like you were saying in the class, that Krishna makes us all these different situations so that we understand, you know, how to actually go back to Godhead. So it doesn't matter actually in the end how many lifetimes it takes in a way.
Yeah.
Because Krishna doesn't care for your body, Krishna cares for your soul, for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.